pray because I really feel that God is wanting to have and already has an open heaven over this room today. And so, Father, we just position ourselves to receive miracles. We declare the healing power of Jesus in this room. Father God, we thank you, Father God, that right now you are at work touching lives. You've already begun, Father God, to show your power operating in the hearts and minds and lives of every person in this room. And so, Lord, we ask for an open heaven over us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to ask you this morning to imagine yourself in a crowded room, a lot like the foyer after church, but much, much larger. And everyone is in groups, small groups, chatting, talking. Are you able out there with all of the different groups and all the different things that are happening, can you participate in every conversation that's going on out there? No. So, what a lot of us do is we look around and we see a friend in a group talking and we decide, I'm going to go and join that group. And as you join that conversation, your focus completely changes from hearing all of the various other conversations in the room to just what your group is saying. And at this very point, we transition from being exposed to all of those conversations, all that chatter, to only one important conversation that we're in. And what we do is we are able to filter out all of the background noise and focus in only on that one important conversation. This is actually this analogy that I've just asked you to imagine can represent our life, because our life is exactly like a noisy room. We've got TV news. Pastor Dave has just mentioned that. We've got social media. We've got Christian TV. We've got fake news. We've got so many voices that are calling us to different viewpoints, different beliefs. And what we need to do as God's people this morning is we need to be really smart and savvy about filtering what we are hearing so that our thought life is full of those values and beliefs that are founded on the truths of God's word. You know, this can even apply with a lot of Christian messages. Do you know there's so many platforms that are fantastic and godly and wonderful? But now more than ever, with all this noise, do we need to have clarity in our thinking and believing? We need to make sure that the truths that we're dwelling on in our thought life are those that are maybe not to the extreme, but there's always a balance, yeah? And we always bring it back to align with the truth of God's word, amen? So here we are bombarded with a society that is full of excessive amounts of information that we can readily access at the press of a button. There's opinions, there's value systems that are openly shared on the screens of our lives. Think about all the different screens that we have access to in the course of one day. And on these various screens, as I said, there's news, there's information that is readily available on any topic that we choose to. So we can Google a celebrity's relationship status. We can Google conspiracy theories. We can even see news on notorious world leaders and political, you know, figures and all of the dirt on them. Right now, here in Perth, we are being soaked with state election promotions about who should govern our state next. Previously, for months, it felt like months, I don't know about you, but on any news feed at any time of the day or night, we could get blow-by-blow descriptions of the American political debacle that was happening, yes? And the opinions of various political commentators who were both left and right wing. Noise. So much noise. It's easily accessed and it fills our minds and our hearts, whether we realize it or not. It challenges our beliefs and it defies our value system. Noise, noise, and more noise. Now, we know that there's secular noise, but as I said, there's also Christian noise. And I don't know about you, but there is such a diverse range of theological viewpoints and opinions that are readily available. And, you know, so often we might say, oh, I've been listening to so-and-so on a podcast, or I've been listening to so-and-so on YouTube. And we are actually able to access all of these different godly men and women of faith on our daily feeds, and they give us their thoughts and their opinions about their walk, their Christian faith, and their belief systems. But for me, right now, today, on the 28th of February 2021, what stands out louder than all of the noise that we are bombarded with, if we choose to be, 24/7, is this one profound but incredibly simple question. And the question that I put to you today is, what is truth? Because as a community of believers right here and right now in the city of Gosnells, what do you and I believe is the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. There's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of voices. So on one hand, over here we've got all this noise. On the other hand, we have truth. But I, for one, have such a deep desire to be counted as a believer who knows the truth that can truly set a person free. To be counted as a believer who is authentic and genuine. Not hyping up what I know into a frenzy to get a response. We are so over that. But honestly being a follower of Christ that declares the truth contained only in the Bible, the living and active Word of God. To be counted as one, count me in. Yeah, we declared it this morning. To be counted as one whose confidence is firmly fixed on a God who is just as real and relevant today as he was 2,000 years ago walking on the streets of Jerusalem and Judea. Whose promises remain the same yesterday, today and forever. He is our unchanging God. So let's come back to this tension of all the noise, and let's add to that noise all of your life experiences that you bring to the table this morning. All of the contradictions, all of the disappointments, all of the miracles that we have seen and experienced, and add to that the accumulated noise that I've been talking about. Wow. There's an awful lot going on inside of our hearts and minds, isn't there? Do you feel weary from that sometimes? What do I really believe? What is truth? Yeah? So many years ago, we had Bill Johnson and his team from Bethel come and minister at the church that I was at in Canning Vale called Life City Church. And I witnessed the most amazing physical miracle. There was a lady in her 40s who, they were a very, very wealthy couple, and she was going to have an elevator, a lift, installed in her home because she had a debilitating condition in her knees and was basically getting to the point where she was unable to walk. And so she goes out to receive a miracle, and she gets touched by God's healing power. She starts to walk. First of all, it starts where she's walking and she's not limping anymore. And for those of us who knew her well, we're watching, we're looking. Then, as God's power starts to operate in her body, we see that she starts to move faster and faster. And she runs up and down across the front of the church. Well, as you can imagine, for those of us who knew her well, we were shouting. We were praising. In fact, Tony McCubbin got and started running with her. He was so excited to see this miracle. We were shouting and praising and applauding what God was doing in her body. It was completely supernatural. And you know, when God supernaturally touches you, there is no experience like it. We will never understand it with our finite mind. It is absolutely astounding. Now, her husband, this is just a side story, was very pleased that he didn't have to install an elevator or a lift. You can appreciate that. So come on, let's head over to truth. Not just to truth, but to where your confidence and my confidence lies, where our foundations and our belief systems are found. In fact, Jesus finds himself in a position where he is asked about truth. So Jesus has been arrested and he finds himself before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, for those of you who may not be aware, is the Roman governor of Judea. And Pilate asked Jesus a question. This question humanity has been asking for centuries. The same response to Jesus that keeps so many from faith. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And in John 14, Jesus answers this question when he says, "I am the truth." You see, Jesus can testify to the truth and teach the truth because he himself is the truth. In him, there is nothing false. There's nothing misleading. There's nothing fake or uncertain. And so I want to present to you this morning the most fundamental truth that I believe and live by and where my great confidence is found, and it comes from John chapter 14 verse 6, and it says this. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It doesn't say I am a way or it's an option. There's only one. There's only one way. There's only one truth. And it's to be found in the name of Jesus. And when we seek out what is truth and what is a lie, we measure it up against the words of Jesus, who himself is the truth. So let's fast forward to the cross and the fact that God sent Jesus, his only son, to pay not only for our sins so that we could be forever reconciled to God and have friendship with him, but inasmuch as he died for our sins, he also paid for our sickness and disease. Amen. First of all, I want to go there in this room this morning. They call it an elephant in the room. Yeah? So I'm going after an elephant this morning. Because this is the elephant, folks. Many of us have absolutely no issue, no problem with accepting the fully paid for, unconditional forgiveness of all that Jesus accomplished when he died on the cross. But the elephant in the room is this. Gut level honest, hand on heart truth. A lot of us find it a lot harder to believe that he equally died for every sickness, disease and condition in our physical body. But that truth is as equally true as him paying the full and ultimate price for our sins. Amen? And that is the elephant in the room. And you know, a lot of us think about that, but we don't voice it because we feel bad. But gosh, I don't really want anyone to know that while I'm totally cool with, you know, salvation and Jesus, you know, dying for me, I struggle with this area. Yeah? So I'm putting it out there for you because we're going there this morning. May I also address at exactly the same time as this elephant that all of this noise that I've been talking about that I have identified in this the earlier part of my message, that too, that noise can affect our believing. I know that there are many of you who are wonderful, faith-filled Christians who are looking to God for your healing. And so this morning, I want to position you to receive that healing that's available. But we have to look at the noise, because the noise can affect the truth. And one of the hindrances to us receiving healing today can be all that accumulated noise that seeks to tell us that even on good Christian feeds, that there's all these hoops we have to jump through before we're qualified, before we're good enough to receive Jesus' healing power. There's so much well-meant Christian teaching that alludes to the whole idea that you have to qualify for healing. Maybe you have been told that. Jim mentioned about forgiveness this morning. And that's so important that we come and we receive and that we have forgiven. But you know, many of you have also read lots of well-meant and great books that say 5 steps to receive healing. Maybe you've been told you're not holy enough. Maybe you've been told that in order to receive your healing, that there's all these things that are holding you back. Often our own condemnation, our own self-talk, talks us out. Yeah? It talks us out of receiving because we disqualify ourselves. Jesus doesn't, but we do. Maybe this morning you're stuck on the question of why some people get healed and others don't. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I've got 2 friends called Dave. Both had terminal cancer. Both were diagnosed at around the same time. Both were faith-filled Christian, godly men. One died and went to heaven 7 years ago. The other, Dave, is healed and alive and well today. Why? Why? It's okay to ask the why question. God doesn't need us to defend him. He's not threatened. Yeah, his truth, his life, he's the way. Well, I want to tell you that I don't have any idea why one Dave lived and another went straight to heaven. And I know in your life today that you've got mysteries just like that one that we don't fully understand. But our confidence lies in the unchanging, infallible truth that Jesus died as much for our sicknesses on the cross as he died for our sins. Full stop. Amen. That's it. despite what I have seen and experienced, that is where my great confidence lies. My faith and confidence lies in the truth that God says in Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This morning when you woke up, you got a clean canvas, a blank canvas. Everything that happened over here is gone. And this morning, God said, have another go. You've got a clean canvas this morning. I'm giving you a whole new set of mercies. Amen? I'm pouring it on. Amen. Yes, he deserves an applause because Jesus today wants you to live light. He wants you to know that all of your regret, that all of your past, that everything on this canvas of your life, this morning you got a new brand new blank one. Amen? So right now, on Sunday the 28th of February, with a whole new set of fresh mercies that God has made available for every person in this room. But in order for us to receive his healing today, we've got to do some things. We've got to turn off all that noise. We've got to put aside on that canvas, that noise, all those disappointments, all of our striving to become good enough, holy enough, to get our healing today, and all we need to do is say yes. His invitation to you is to come, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The truth, and nothing but the truth, right now in this defining moment, is that Jesus is your healer, that Jesus is my healer. And he wants you this morning to encounter him and to receive your healing. Not somebody else's. He wants you personally. He is vitally concerned about you. You know, Jesus performed miracles by touching, healing and transforming countless lives. And these mighty deeds, Pastor Ken, and extraordinary wonders were performed against the backdrop of very ordinary, everyday people, just like you and I. And you might be saying, well, that was in the Bible, that happened in the Bible. But you know, the people that received in the Bible were very, very ordinary, everyday people, just like you and I. They came from all walks of life. Some were of reputation. Others of no reputation. Some were wealthy, others were poor. Some were people of faith, others were completely godless. But Jesus never discriminated or disqualified anyone because of their status or their right standing. He simply said, come and receive. And we can see all scattered all through Scripture, account after account, multiple examples of these miracles all through Scripture. In John 4, 43 to 54, we see the account of Jesus healing an official's son at Capernaum in Galilee. Then we pick up the story in Matthew 8, 14 to 17, and it says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. In Mark 3 verses 1 to 6, Jesus heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day, which was unheard of, a big no-no in the culture of the day. In Matthew 9, 20 to 22, we see Jesus healing a woman in the crowd with an issue of blood. In 2016, the doctors told me that I had these nodules on my lungs and there was a 60% chance of it being a secondary cancer. My sister Carrie came with me. I've told you this story, but it's really quite cute and quite funny. She came with me to hear the result and to be my support. And the doctor said, you know, there's a 60% chance this could be leukemia or a secondary cancer. Well, you can appreciate, those of you who've had those kind of diagnoses, that it's, it really, really gets your attention. And so my darling sister, who is not medical in any way, said to the GP, said to my doctor, she said, "Doctor, can we negotiate on those statistics?" And the doctor looked at her in a strange way and said, no, we can't. But that's kind of how you feel, isn't it? You kind of feel like, oh my goodness. After exploratory surgery where they collapsed my lung, I was told I had a condition, some of you may have heard of it, it's called sarcoidosis, which when it's active is extremely serious and very, very debilitating. But you know, that particular condition that they say is present in my lung has lied dormant for 5 years. It has never been activated. It has never, ever. Yeah, amen. And I walk in good health, amen, today, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen? And he defines my path and my course and my length of days. Amen? And so I want to just share with you that there are account after account of miracle working power of Jesus. Do you know, for those of you, there may be those of you here this morning that are looking to actually have a baby, to become pregnant. Do you know that all through the Bible there is account of the but gods and the suddenlies of incredibly impossible situations, but then there was the suddenly, the but God, the miracle working power that actually caused people who had tried for years to have children to become pregnant. Amen? We're going to pray for that today. We're going to go after that today. Amen? We're going to go after miracles in Jesus' name. We're not going to try and figure it out. We're just going to say yes. You know, this morning, there's only two things that I'm going to say before we pray for you. The first is, you might be sitting there saying, "Well, Bethwyn, I want to receive this morning. What do I need to do scripturally?" Well, Matthew 18 tells us this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." And so if you were to say to me, "Bethwyn, what do I need to receive today?" My heart's saying yes. It says, become like a little child. Childlike faith. Uncomplicated. Yeah? Uncompromised. A child just believes what you say. Have that kind of faith. And the other part of this receiving this morning relates to what I've alluded to right through my message, which is about a clean canvas, a blank canvas. This morning when you woke up, God wanted to give you everything fresh and new. But for you to walk in that, for you to receive that, you've got to put aside all that's gone before, all of the, "But I remember when so-and-so didn't get healed. I remember this. I remember when I..." And we kind of bring up this run sheet, don't we? And what it does inside of us is... This morning, something fresh, something new, something miraculous from the heart of the Father. Amen? Now, This morning, what I'd love to do, because I'm very aware that we are online, we have an online congregation that are joining us this morning. And so what I want to do first is I want to pray for miracles for those who are watching online. Will you join me? Would you maybe stretch your hand towards our screens this morning? And we're just going to pray a prayer of faith over those online who are believing for a miracle. And maybe whatever part of your body or whatever the situation, do something. Put your hand there, maybe if it's a heart condition, whatever it is, a knee, whatever it is, put your hand there, and we're going to pray a prayer of faith believing this morning. Father, we speak to every person who has joined us online this morning and who is believing to receive miracle working power through their heart, through their mind, through their body this morning. Father, we pray that from the top of their head and to the bottom of their feet, that they would feel your healing power, your healing virtue flowing through them supernaturally right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us, online family. And we're going to say bye-bye for now. You can catch us again next week. Thank you so much for joining us. We're praying for you. And don't forget that phone that Pastor David talked about that you can contact us on for prayer and for pastoral care. Well, there's a miracle which is the greatest miracle, and that's the miracle of salvation. That you can completely turn your life around by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. Maybe you have never encountered Him before, but today is your day. And so we're going to close our eyes and bow our heads. And I'm wondering if there's anybody here that says, Bethwyn, I want to encounter the God that you've been talking about. I want to know Jesus personally. And if you are a person who would like to ask Jesus into their heart and life this morning in a personal way, would you put your hand up while every eye is closed, every head is bowed? Put your hand up nice and high. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. I see that hand. That is wonderful. Is there anybody else here this morning? Yep. Thank you. That's wonderful. Great. Beautiful. All right. Is there anyone else? I don't want to hurry this because this is the most important question that I can ask you today. Would there be one that would say, yes, I want to know Jesus personally. I want to turn my life around this morning. All right, well, would you pray this prayer with me to help that gentleman that put up his hand? Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart today. Forgive me of all the things I've done wrong. I want to know you personally. I want to make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.